B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon. Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And I said this the day that they signed Kyrie. They used to be a pace and space team where the ball and the movement dictated who got the shot. Kyrie Irving is a ball-dominated, isolation type of player. They used to be a team where Al Horford, their center, led them in assists.
Great.
Okay, that was their style. Now they've chosen to give the ball to Kyrie to take them home. He's shown that he can't be the best player on a contending team. And I agree with you. He's done in Boston. And you ready for this? You ready for this? The teammates will help him pack.
Jalen Rose on Get Up yesterday. Such a good cut, and they play it again. Do they already have their bags packed, Maz?
I mean, I think so. I don't know about literally, but yes. And to me, the simple reason that ultimately this thing's going to come down is because deep down, they all want it to end. They don't want to keep going. They don't like each other. The whole year's been a train wreck. It's been a grind. They're sick of each other. The whole thing, which is why anytime the opposition goes on a run, they don't fight. They don't fight for one another. How many times do you hear that with that phrase with the championship team, right? No, these guys play for each other. They want to win for one another. They believe in each other. They like each other.
That ain't this group.
Not even close. Which is why when adversity comes, they implode. And so you're going to play game five in Milwaukee, hostile crowd, the Bucks smelling blood. And this team's going to fight through it?
What about all the big talk from Marcus Morris today? At the shoot-around, he got up and declared, we ain't going on vacation for another month, and still believes we're the better team.
Yeah, it's, again...
The second party's right.
Well, yeah, on paper.
They're still the better team.
Yeah, wait till they get out there, though, and they actually have to fight through it. And they won't. They won't do it for each other. They won't. And you know what?
This is why no one thinks they're going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, this is why
to land your tees.
Yeah, I think ultimately this is why they're going to lose, because quite simply, they all want to go home. They're sick of it. They're done. They're done with each other. They all want to go home. And when you're like that, you're not going to fight through it.
I know. That's how I feel, like watching them as a fan. I mean, tonight, and I know I'm not alone. Please, I hope it's a blowout.
I mean, again, the coach, Stevens, was on the midday show today, and he answered the questions a little bit in his press conference the other night. They've been emphasizing all year that they need to do a better job of fighting through stuff. They're now in game five of the conference semifinal, and they still haven't figured it out.
Too much talk, not enough winning.
Because they don't want to. They don't want to. They don't want to fight for each other. It didn't work. They don't like each other. They don't believe in each other. They don't trust each other, and you can't win when it's that bad. So I think it's over. I think there's a good chance that they are going to get absolutely creamed in Milwaukee tonight.
Does it matter to you what it looks like? As a Celtics fan, do you want them to go down with some honor?
Sure.
No. I want it. If it's been this ugly in these last three games, which are really indicative of what they've been all year, I want it to be a dumpster fire tonight. I really do.
Well, so I would say that, of course, you always want to see them battle to the end.
Ugh.
But this team, I mean, what is the right ending for this team?
Yeah, well... What do they deserve?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
no. Quitting and getting their asses kicked.
Yeah, like a 30-point blowout.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Dunk contest.
Yeah. This team, given the way their year went, that's how it should end. And will it? I don't know. Hell, they could win the game. I'm not telling you that, you know, but if you're asking me.
They won't.
Given who they are and how they played under adverse conditions at certain times this year, I think there's a real chance they get their asses completely kicked.
What do you expect from Kyrie tonight?
Quit.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me if
6 for 22 shooting.
So he goes from 8 for 22 to 7 to 22 from 6 for 22. Sense of trend.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you feel like he's going to all of a sudden be the leader that they want him to be. Like, I don't see, it wouldn't shock me in the least bit if he pulls a LeBron and starts passing to everybody and letting them missing shots. You know, see, okay, fine. You guys want me to include the other guys? Get them going. You don't want me to take my 30 shots, Gasper? You don't want me to do that? Fine, here you go. I'll pass to all your guys and let them go 4 for 50 and then let me know. So, but I could totally see that. And then, like, I don't know. I just feel like the whole thing there is so freaking dysfunctional that part of me wants to watch this thing just to see, you know, part of me wants to see Kyrie quit just to see how Stevens handles it. You're going to pull him out of the game or you're just going to let him quit? Like, what are you going to do? Because where this thing is going to go from here, I have no idea. It could go in so many different directions. Who knows?
In true NBA fashion, it's not even really a sporting event tonight. It's a reality play. I mean, really, to see how they respond, see how what sort of character they have, if any, how they all respond if it's not going their way. How it, are they all? Is Kyrie going to stay on the floor this time until the game's over? Or is he going to slink off again? Because that's a talk about a little LeBron move. That's what Daddy used to do.
Oh yeah, no, that's a total LeBron move, total.
So, how's that all going to play out? True NBA fashion, the drama. Adam in Bridgewater. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, I was just calling to see what you guys thought. I think most of the blame this year goes to Kyrie. I think he's just an insufferable diva jerk. But I'm wondering what you guys think about Brad Stevens' unwillingness to fix. Like, he in game four, he left with two timeouts left to go. Like, pretty much the season's over. Why isn't he calling timeouts if people aren't working? His unwillingness, I think it's because Kyrie won't take coaching, so now he doesn't feel like he can coach anybody else. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, well, we'll reset this. We spent some time on Stevens earlier. We'll do it right now again. Stevens is rolling all of this.
Oh, it's I think it's significant. I don't put him ahead of the players because I think it's a players' league. But I also think that the absence of leadership is at least in part significantly a reflection on the coach.
Yeah, and it was a Rick Bucher cut, and maybe we should play it again.
We will be.
Yeah, he explained how he refused or just didn't have, I guess, the sack enough, and this is me putting my spin on it, to set up a hierarchy. You have to do that. You have to try to tell them, like, you know, even if these guys have big egos like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they obviously did after their run last year. You have to still defer to Kyrie. Well, he's your leader.
Okay, but Murray, actually, Jimmy, I'm sorry. Let's do it now. Rick Bucher, too. He was on one of those Fox talk shows yesterday. Rick Bucher, he's with ESPN all these years, longtime NBA follower. He was really hard on Stevens in his spot on TV the other day. Here's this issue about, again, no hierarchy on the Celtics.
Brad, in game four, called timeouts every time you needed a timeout. The problem was they would come out of the timeout, and the problem wasn't fixed. They still were going each one-on-one.
Yep.
There was no continuity in their offense. There is no hierarchy. And I've been told by someone close to the Celtics that Brad doesn't establish a pecking order. That's what I was waiting for all year. You have this collection of guys, all who feel that they should play a certain role. But you know what? Not everybody gets to play the role that they think they should. And if I watch one more highlight of Giannis Antetokounmpo stepping hard right and spinning back left, and the second defender is 6 feet away, he's not going to stop and hit a step back. He's going one direction when he makes that move, and the Celtics collectively cannot stop that. I'm sorry. That, to me, is coaching, or it's I can't get through to my players what I need them to do at the defensive end. I hate putting it all on the coaches because it is a players' league. But in this case, the talent is not living up to what they're capable of doing, and it's because of how they're executing. And that I am going to put on Brad Stevens' plate.
Okay, so a lot of fair points in there. The establishing the pecking order, I mean, might that be the number one issue on the team?
Yep.
Yeah.
That Kyrie couldn't keep it in his pants and the players couldn't, the younger guys couldn't accept what they were versus him, and Kyrie couldn't accept what he should have been in the grand scheme of things given what they accomplished last year, and not just roles on the floor and shots in terms of whose team it is and who sets the tone and how that all plays out, and are you all able to subjugate yourself? And Kyrie Irving is the number one culprit, I'm sorry, because it had to be his team and his show. And when they went to the East Finals without him last year, he felt threatened, apparently, and so tried to turn it into a measuring contest this year and blew up the whole thing. So it starts with him. But isn't it the coach's job there to sort of lay down the law, who's who?
Yes. To me, that's a huge thing. And Stevens wanted to run it like a college team where they weren't even getting the, you know, top-notch recruits. They were getting second-level, even third-level recruits and saying, guys, nobody believes in you, so here's how we're going to win. We're going to win together. That's how we're going to win. We're going to be more together than everybody else. The NBA doesn't work that way. And so, look, the simplest example is the end of that game in Orlando at the beginning of the year. Hayward has the ball. Tatum comes around to pick. He's the first option. If he's not there, then they give it to Kyrie. So Hayward makes the pass, and Kyrie's flipping out. And Kyrie says, well, wait a minute. I'm the best player on the team. The game's on the line. Shouldn't I be getting the ball? And the coach says, well, no, it's not really about the individual. It's about the system. It's about where the shot is. And the NBA, is that how it works? Or do you give the ball to your best scorer and hope he wins a game for you? So I would say more often than not, generally, more often than not always, Doc Rivers drew up a play for Paul Pierce to get the ball and take a jumper at the elbow.
Right elbow, yep. Every time.
Every time. Yeah. That was the money shot. And they all knew it. They all knew it. There was no gray area. And then every once in a while, they might be a wrinkle and they run a play for someone else because they think there's a matchup and they can, you know, the other team has sniffed it out. But for the most part, that was it. What is it with this team?
Well, so Stevens, one of his claim to fame was the ATOs, right? His brilliant ATOs. Is that what they call them? ATOs?
Yeah, after timeouts here.
Yeah, brilliant plays. Well, when you've got, when Kyrie Irving shows up, he's like, no. Screw your ATO. You give it to me and everyone else goes to the other side of the floor. There's no play. You just give it to me.
Right.
So what would you rather have?
Well, so what do I like better? The ATOs. The coach drawing up the play and going to the guy that has the mismatch. That's what I think is the better way. But in that league, I don't know if you can win that way.
Okay, back with more and your calls right after this.
The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's a difference between coaching Butler and coaching teams that are missing stars or in a bad Eastern Conference. You go back to 2000, I don't want to go back too much history, but you go back to 2016-17 when they went to the conference finals the first time and they had a bunch of no-names. If Rajon Rondo doesn't get hurt, they are a first seed that's getting knocked out by the 8th seed of Chicago Bulls.
They were down.
It took them seven games to get past the Washington Wizards.
Yeah.
And then they got run by a Cleveland Cavaliers team that, by the way, couldn't stand up to the Golden State Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
So how good are they really, and how good is Brad Stevens? There's a distinction between coaching decent guys and making them very good or overachievers, and then there's coaching talent. You have to be a psychologist more than an X's and O's guy. And that is what they are missing with this team. Kyrie Irving has not been a leader. That was only more evidence of it. I should have taken 8 more shots. Your decision-making was horrendous. I'm not talking about the number of shots you took. I'm talking about when you took them. You're down by double digits, and now you're going 1-on-3. Even if you make that shot, it's not a good shot. They're not getting it from Kyrie. They're not getting it from Brad.
More Bucher there. He was tough on Stevens. You need more of a psychologist than an X and O guy. That's true.
Oh, absolutely it is. I mean, at that level, you do.
Okay, we continue with your calls. Bruins, Celtics, your expectations tonight. Ricky in the car, what do you think tonight?
Yeah, well, I wonder if Bucher was saying that after the first game. Anyway, I agree with you, Maz. They're not going to beat Milwaukee unless they get contributions from Hayward. Now, what I would do is I would sit Tatum because he's giving you nothing. I would start Hayward. Let Hayward bring the ball up. Let Kyrie play off the ball because they're just collapsing on Kyrie. Anytime he gets into the paint, they're just collapsing. And it'll get Hayward engaged right into the game immediately.
Okay, I'm just going to stop you there.
It's an interesting idea. I mean, you know, maybe, and I don't know that they'll do this because Smart missed so much time, but maybe go back to that lineup with him in there and play Kyrie off the ball so he can run him off some screens. You know, the idea of the ball being in Kyrie's hands too much, that's a problem.
More on Hayward from Eddie and Lowell. Go ahead, Eddie.
Yeah, I agree with the last call. If the Celtics are going to play as a team and actually win tonight, they need to get Hayward going. Like, I get that he struggled all year, but how do you expect this kid to be a playmaker when they bury him in the corner every single trip down the floor? And don't get me wrong, I know his teammates don't trust him, and I actually contribute that to Brad Stevens, even though you guys think that Stevens favors him. But there's no question that the Celtics are a better team when the offense runs through Al Horford or Gordon Hayward at the top of the key, not when Kyrie and Tatum dribble to death and Marcus Morris is chucking up, you know, off-balance threes from the Loge. And real quick, I just want to make this point that if the Celtics lose tonight and Kyrie skates, I think Klay Thompson would look great in a Celtics uniform.
Thanks, okay, guys. We'll start that when the Celtics lose, if they lose. It's just sort of odd when we all acknowledge, you said earlier, Maz, that Gordon Hayward has been the worst player in the series by far, either team.
Yep.
Again, net rating, Minus 16 when he's on the floor, plus 17 when he's off. Worst player on the floor. And the solution now is to give him more responsibility, more minutes.
So again, there's a long-term versus short-term here. And in the short-term, you got to have a short leash with him. In the long-term, though, if you want to win the series and you want to win the next round, he's got to play better. And so how do you get there? This is like the regular season all over again, right? You have to fight through it. So I don't know what you do there, but Hayward has sucked in this series. I can't emphasize how bad he's been.
Devin in Los Angeles on the McAvoy hit. Yes.
Hey, Felger, I wanted to 100% agree with you what you said to open the show. I'm totally shocked that Bruins fans are acting the way they are about this hit. He 100% deserved what he got. And one thing I always like to think is reverse the roles. Think about if it was McAvoy that got hit instead of getting hit. He would get, you know, Bruins fans would be up in arms. We've watched the careers of people like Savard get ended on a head hit. Nathan Horton in the Stanley Cup Finals, his career was basically ended. You know, was it a careless hit? Absolutely. Did he mean it? No. But it was a stupid hit. And like Matt said, when you watch it, it's like, you idiot, you're going to get kicked out and suspended for the next game. You know,
I mean, I just think
I think the reason they're so mad is because he's been our best player besides Tuukka. But that said, he deserved the suspension, and I think we should be able to overcome it. It's game one against the freaking Whalers.
I'm with you, Devin. Exactly. I'm with you 100% on that. Maybe it's just not being able to take the hit. Like, your guy did something wrong. He gets rung up for it. And so just take it. Like, can you take it? And that's textbook. It's textbook hit to the head. You can't draw it up any cleaner than that.
Dumb and indefensible. I don't know what the hell people were expecting.
And it's not the dumbest thing in the world. Maz said, well, your take on him deciding to go after Anderson in the first place.
Look, I give McAvoy all the credit in the world. Anderson's a monster. That guy's huge. He's like 6'3", 230. He's built like Ovechkin, for crying out loud. And so McAvoy's not going after some pipsqueak. Like, I love the fact that, and this is what I do like about McAvoy. McAvoy sees a guy like that and says, oh, I'll hit him. No one else, I'll hit him. You want me to do it? I'll do it. Like, he's not afraid of that. That's part of the reason that he has the value he does, because he's a good defenseman at both ends. So he took a little too far, but I'd rather have him be nasty.
So big picture, I don't have a problem with McAvoy and even that hit for all those reasons you just said. But the league has been trying to get that hit out of the game for years. You hit someone like that nowadays, you get suspended, period. That's just the way it works.
I mean, like, just to use it as a contrast, and again, it's a loose analogy, but Mark Savard was a finesse playmaker.
Yes.
Matt Cook lined him up and absolutely knocked him into, you know, forever.
What you're saying is McAvoy picked on someone his own size.
Picked on someone bigger. Picked on someone even bigger. I love that.
Steven Brighton, thoughts on the Celtics tonight. What are we going to get?
Felger, I think we're going to get the ultimate Greek gyro meat spin party, to be honest, tonight. I really do. Because that's what this team deserves. I'm serious. Felger, you said at the beginning of the year, this team was going to have the potential to be the number two team in town for the next 5 to 10 years.
Yes.
We add Kyrie Irving to a team that went to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals last year, and we are going to lose in the second round to Bango the Bucko. I can't believe it. I really can't. It's been brutal to watch all year, and I don't want it to end. I need it to end for my own sake. Okay, Maz, quickly, I just want to get your thoughts on this. Would it not be the ultimate Kyrie move this offseason? Forget the Knicks. Forget New York. That's too simple for Kyrie. Would it not be the ultimate Kyrie move for him to go crawling back to Daddy and go sign with the Lakers this offseason and go back to Bron? Would it not be? Because that's what I really think is going to happen. It's too simple to go to New York with this guy. Mm. Thanks, guys. Okay. I appreciate it.
I mean, that would be fun in terms of villainy, except you only see him once a year. He goes to the Knicks. That's your direct competition. He's in your face all year long.
I'll tell you what, with Kyrie, I rule out nothing. I rule out nothing. The guy to me is just a complete enigma. Like, talk about a mental case on so many different levels. And tonight would not surprise me in the least bit if he just flat out quit. Would not surprise me in the least bit.
What's it going to be tonight? How's it going to look? What form is it going to take? They show some pride tonight? They show some fight? Is that in their blood? Is that in their makeup?
I mean, they haven't played with pride all year. Why would they start now?
Jay in the van, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to make an observation on the Celtics. You know, this team, I don't care whether they win or lose, right? they have no fight, like that intangible thing, right? When you watch, you know, any great team play, championship team, you can see all the players on that team fighting in that game. They want it. You know, we've been lucky around here to see Tom Brady do it for as long as he has. You watch the Patriots.
You don't got to go to the Patriots, Jay. How about just the Celtics the last 4 years? The Celtics of the last 4 years fought for every inch, every game. I mean, do you remember how many comebacks that team used to have? Where they'd be down whatever, double digits in the fourth, and they'd always be shooting a three to tie the game. No matter how big of the deficit, they just chip and claw and claw and claw and hang around and hang around and made a game of just about every game they were in. You remember how many games they had like that?
Yeah, now they're the opposite.
Now they're the exact opposite.
Now they get up 11 or 12 in the second quarter. The other team comes back and they lose by 18.
Oh.
Or that game against the Clippers early in the year. Remember that one?
Sure.
They were up 28 and they lost. They lost. And so I just think it's, again, the littlest bit of adversity, they stop playing. It's too hard tonight. I don't feel like playing.
Okay, this could be their last chance. Let's see. Here's Murray's update, and we're back with more.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha he he.
Oh, love it. 98.5, the Sports
Hub. I know you guys are turning TNT. I heard you talking during the break here. You guys are going to travel with the Eastern Conference Finals. And so on one side, we're a win away for Toronto from getting there. And tonight, Milwaukee could play their way there.
Hey, Mike, let me stop you.
Yeah.
We already unmade our reservations for Milwaukee and Toronto. Okay.
Fair enough. And so, do you believe tonight is the last time we will see Kyrie Irving in a Boston Celtics uniform?
Yes, I think it will be. I think that it's not a good mix there. I think he's not happy there. Also, I don't think, and listen, I want to give Paul Pierce some credit because he said it first. I don't want people thinking I'm cheating on Paul Pierce's paper. I don't think Kyrie Irving can be the best player on your team. He's a very talented player, but from a mental standpoint of being a leader of your franchise that has to live with all the criticism, I don't think he can be the best player on your team.
That's Barkley. I'm with the Get Up crew this morning. Already got his plane tickets booked.
Comical.
But the thing about being the best, we talked about this earlier, is that entirely fair to Kyrie Irving? He can't be the best player on a championship team. He can't build around him the franchise guy. I mean, maybe, and look, I don't think he is. But who is? Who is? And I think Maz is a good litmus test for this because I think you're very exacting when it comes to your NBA superstar. Like, you don't like a lot of guys. James Harden, yes or no?
No.
Michael what? Russell Westbrook.
No.
Damian Lillard. I mean, I'm just throwing out names here for you now. Murray?
Maybe. I love him. I'm biased. I think he's a killer.
No, not good enough. No.
Stu?
I love Lillard, but no.
Okay.
Lillard's in the Kyrie Irving category, that next tier down.
Steph Curry.
No.
We were wrong to say no earlier. You got to put him in.
Yes, because he did it. Yes.
I'm a
just
no on Steph
just say
Curry.
Yes, Maz.
I'm a no.
How can you say no when he did it? That's just wrong.
Because the year he did
it's
it,
like the team winning, he's saying no, they actually lost.
No, there was an asterisk that year. Kyrie got hurt in the finals, or they would have lost.
It's maybe the most Felgren Maz thing ever.
I'm with Maz on this one. Curry's a no.
Yeah, Curry's a no. I say he's a no. He needs another guy.
Okay, fine. LeBron?
Yes.
Yes.
Durant?
Yes.
Yes.
Giannis?
Yes.
Yes.
Kawhi Leonard?
Yes.
Give me another one. Anthony Davis.
I don't know yet. I don't know yet. Right
I
now.
I mean no on Davis.
You're asking me today, no.
Who's the guy in Denver? Jokic?
No.
Yeah. We'll see.
No.
Stu?
I want to say yes.
No.
Okay, so you have four guys, Maz.
Yeah, that's right.
So Kyrie Irving's not in the four. Like, is that really fair to him? Because no one else is on that list either.
No, it's not fair to him except for this reason. This is what he thinks he is. He's the one that put himself on that platform.
So you're right. This is the problem.
So Kyrie thinks that he's one of those guys.
That's right.
This is the issue. Is that, okay, you want to come to Boston, you want to be the guy, you want to be LeBron, then you got to impact the game at the both ends of the floor the way those guys do. And those four guys that we named, to me, that's the one thing they all have in common. They can both affect shots in the paint, all four of them, and they can all dominate the game at the other end. Kawhi Leonard might be the best defensive player in the league. If he's not, when he wants to play, LeBron is. Durant, you would never say is a physical player per se, but he can alter shots and he can block shots when he wants to play defense. And the freak, my goodness, as we know, absolute force in the paint on both ends of the floor. So, like, I look at it and say those guys are the guys that completely change the game no matter who has the ball. I don't know how many other guys in the league there are like that. Davis, maybe. Maybe. So, but Kyrie doesn't have the size to do it. Now that said, I still think the bigger problem, the reason I agree with Barkley.
Yeah, his point is it's the off-the-floor thing.
Correct. It's because Kyrie doesn't have, you know, Kyrie wants to act like the best player off the floor. And if he's your best player, can get away with that. Your locker room's going to be, you know, polluted, poisoned. It just is not going to work because his attitude sucks. You know, someone's going to be able to put Kyrie in his place and say, until you can do it at both ends of the floor, like those guys can, you're not on their level, so shut the hell up.
Okay. If they go down tonight, what does it look like? That's on the table.
Ugly.
As well. Think so?
I can't imagine it's going to be pretty, can you?
It doesn't feel that way, but again, I'll just say it again.
You've lived through too many tormented years as a Bucks fan.
Okay, so look, I'll be totally honest, which I always am. Number one, sport.
Thank you.
Number one, sports. Sports.
Sure, that's right.
Crazy sports. Things can happen.
Sports. Okay? Sports. That's why they play the games, blah, blah, blah. It happens. They get motivated. Kyrie hits some shots early. Do the Bucks really know how to close? I still think the Celtics are better. And sports. And this too, the league wants the Celtics to win. They want the inventory. They want extra games. So, you know, I think the officiating will be in your favor.
Okay, so I mean, that one I'll give you because that's a different variable. You know, if Giannis has four fouls in the second quarter.
Okay, it's pretty easy. So I think it's possible. But then, yes, maybe it is my scarred Milwaukee upbringing. I've been in this spot many, many times and slunk out of that stadium, even though it's new, twice over. Sad little Milwaukee boy whose Bucks once again had their hearts crushed by the Boston Celtics. That's how I grew up. That's my childhood.
And you went outside and hugged the Fawn statue?
Yep. Exactly right.
Pathetic.
That's exactly right. Went back and fondled my Lynn Dickey card. Former quarterback of the Packers, Lynn Dickey.
I know who Lynn Dickey is.
Okay? So I am psychologically damaged, so I have a fatalistic sort of thing. What I want, do you now know you want to know what I want?
Oh, sure. Yes, please.
I want this to be a dunk contest. I want...
Scare Sally type
Giannis's
of
Giannis's Greek...
Souvlaki.
Jockstrap dangling in your face all night long. How does the Greek jockstrap taste to you, folks? That's what I want.
Tzatziki.
I want it to be a dunk contest tonight.
Like Moussaka.
And I just want to relish in a 25-point victory where it is one Giannis 35. Thunderous dunk after the next.
I think your chances are pretty good because I think deep down the Celtics want to roll over in this game.
Yeah, from a karmic standpoint, the way that this season's played out, especially with the way that this last three games have played out, that's what should happen tonight.
I think they want it to end. I think deep down they want it to end. I think they're sick of each other. I think they're sick of Kyrie. I think he's sick of them. I think Stevens might want it to end more than any of them because he looks at this team and he hates this team.
I hate you.
Seriously, if I were Stevens, I would hate this team. I would almost say that as a praise of him, you know, a compliment to him, yeah. Because he believes in sort of the group mentality, clearly to a fault. I think in the NBA, I think he hates this team and he can't wait for the year to end. That's what I think.
Okay, your final thoughts here, John, Rhode Island, go. Jonathan?
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
What's up? Sorry about that, guys. Real quick, thanks for taking my call. Two real quick points. One is Brad looked scared not to take Kyrie out of the game the other night when he was totally disheveled and he still gave him 44 minutes. I know Kyrie's got to dominate the minutes, but it almost seemed like he was scared to take him out of the game, whether it was bad press or Kyrie screaming in his ear. And the second part that I wanted to make was if this thing does blow up tonight, do you think this would work if in a perfect world you keep Brad and bring in Kemba Walker? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, much more his kind of guy. I think. I mean, I don't know what Kemba Walker is as a person, but I don't assume that he is this giant egomaniac, you know, insufferable D-bag like this guy. How could he possibly be? So from 10,000 feet, more his kind of guy. A second-tier guy that he can coach up into, you know, more than he is. And will take coaching and run the ATOs and blah, blah, blah. That might be a better fit for Stevens. So what do you want? To keep the coach and get a lesser player? I mean, maybe that might be the right play. It is interesting about the minutes. You know, Irving played the entire second half the other night.
Yeah, he didn't come off the floor in the second half, yeah.
43 minutes, 30 seconds, his highest total as a Celtic ever.
Yep.
Do you go down like that again tonight?
I doubt it.
Just leave him dangling out there?
Because I think there's a chance that the deficit would be so big that it'll be irrelevant, and Kyrie will ask to come out.
Do you have to subtract the 8 seconds off of that time, or do they account for good. That?
Very good, Jimmy.
Yeah. Maybe I'll have a chance.
Sandy.
Yes, hi.
Hi, you're on the air, hi.
I just want to basically say what you guys already said and my husband's been saying. This has all been a, I think, malfunction since Kyrie yelled at Haywood and Tatum and all that. Ever since then, it seems like it's gone downhill. And Kyrie has a big fat head, and he called and said, I'm sorry to LeBron. He's not a leader, and he needs to go back and be LeBron's bitch.
Well said, Sandy. Thank you very much. Even our mild-mannered lady callers are vicious.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, again, very tactful, you know, very sort of to the point.
No, it's well said.
Go back to L.A. and be LeBron's bitch.
So the problems, I'm sorry, did not start with that Orlando game where he called daddy. I mean, believe me, that was one of them. That's on the list. It was like three games into the preseason.
Yep.
When Brad Stevens came out and said, we're not as good as we think we are. There's something wrong here.
He knew right away.
Stevens said right away that... He like right away he was sounding alarm bells, and then their first West Coast trip after the Portland game, I don't know, it was game four, game five, something like this. Kyrie comes out and says, we could really use another veteran on this team. Like,
that's right.
What? So I'm sorry. And this will all come out in the Jackie McMullen piece and other reporting when they bury Kyrie Irving. He's going to get buried if he leaves here by the local guys. Because it'll all come out, and this will all come out. So I bet stuff happened week one, day one.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. Again, we only know, you know, we know the tip of the iceberg. There's still 90% of it underwater, for crying out loud. Wait, and you know what? In that league, they couldn't keep a secret if they wanted to.
They chirp.
Oh, my gosh. They will yap like nobody's business.
Look at Jimmy's already beaming back there. He's licking his chops.
I am, too. I want stacks of pages. I want you with a highlighter. Like, I want all of it.
I'm rooting for the Felger highlighter, too.
Oh, it's going to come out.
Oh, it's coming.
Yeah, it'll come out.
Marcus Morris will do a podcast with somebody about it.
I'm going Jackie Mack as the one to really break the seal on it. Matthew in Framingham. Hi, Matt.
Hey, so everybody has every reason to feel how they feel. I mean, it's disgusting what these last three games have been. And, you know, I think the off the court stuff is showing up on the court. And like I said last call, you know, it's just a bunch of guys trying to play hero ball. But I have a feeling that tonight, so, you know, sometimes when the whole world's against you, especially in the social media world we live in, you hear the guys on TNT talking about they already got their tickets. Sometimes that us against them mentality,
that's right,
it might humble Kyrie just enough that they might play together like a team tonight, I think.
I don't know if it's hard to humble that fella. But, Matthew, again, just to sum it up, sports. Sometimes it just works that way.
And if you're really angry at them and you do want it to end, think of it this way. You want them to win tonight so you can boo them in person in the next game.
I don't know. If they win game five, they're winning game six.
If they had shown me during the year that they had the capacity to really fight for one another, I'd say, sure. But if you're asking me what do I think is going to happen in this game tonight, I think they might put up a fight for a little while, and then Milwaukee will hit them with a haymaker, and they'll get, you know, they'll put their tail between their legs like they've done every other game in this series after the first one, and they'll wilt. Either that, or they'll get their doors blown off right out of the gate, and it'll be over.
That's what I'm rooting for.
By the way, Budenholzer has come into Boston and beaten you in a game six once already.
Sure has.
Right.
And he's out coaching you as well.
Budenholzer, I think, owns that Boston ass. I mean, I don't know if I'm just going by the actual results.
Yeah.
He's come in here many times and beaten you.
Just once.
I don't know. What happened? Did I just watch these last couple
in
games?
In a series.
Oh, I see. In a clincher. Well, that's the only chance he had. Mike in Foxborough, go ahead. Finish us off today.
All right. So... you guys are contradicting yourself. Milwaukee is definitely the better team. If you use that, like,
I don't NFL, believe that.
I'll prove it to you.
Prove
the NFL draft value chart.
Uh-oh.
Giannis is like a number one pick worth like 3,000.
Kyrie.
Kyrie is worth, he's like maybe number 12 in the league.
Where are you getting these numbers from? Where are you getting these 1,200 valuation from?
It's posted on the NFL draft value.
NFL? Card. These guys play in the NBA. But I hear you. That Giannis, let's just try and...
Yeah, the value of the number one player is worth right. number 10 wrap up and his number 12 here. And number 14 all okay. put together.
Kyrie's playing like ass. If he was playing to his level, it's close between Giannis and Kyrie. It's close. The reason you're down 3-1 is because their superstar went off and yours turtled. If your superstar was playing at his ceiling, it's a 2-2 series going back, at least if not more. So, sorry, no. I think the Celtics are still a better team.
What's Hayward's value on the Jimmy Johnson chart? Like, is he Mr. Irrelevant? Is he the last pick in the draft? Does he get any points at all? Robin?
Underappreciated.
He's that 5'5 receiver the Patriots just cut with no hamstring?
Yeah, Bruce Ellington.
The Felger Maz off-air show comes your way at 6 on Facebook Live. Me and Ty Anderson. Bruins, do you feel a little Bruins deficient right now with all the Celtics talk? Bruins talk with Ty Anderson at 6 on Facebook Live. Also, some grab ass if you want it. Fire off questions, we'll answer. That's online. But coming up next here on the show is the final word.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? There is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right, a couple of pieces of sound to get to in the final word today, including a throwback piece of sound we'll get to in a moment. Uh-oh. But first, though, something made Felger mad today, and that's teams. Teams are teams, so always refer to teams as such. Otherwise, you're going to make Dad angry. They're not groups. They're not guilds. They're not unions, consortiums, co-ops, partnerships, any of that. They're teams. He hates the term group.
He's one of these guys that, instead of saying team, he says group. Our group. We like our group in there. We have a good group in there. Really is a testament to the group, which is a new fangled way, you know, group, which the word bugs me because it's like that's meant for the business world. Yes, our group, our marketing group, our research group. We've got a good group. No, it's not a group. It's a team. It's a team. You have a team, not a group. But it's like he Harvardizes the thing. So it's sort of hard to relate to our group. Team. No, it's a team, Donnie. It's his team. You have a team.
Or a band.
It's a testament to your team and not your group. It's not like your tech group in back.
A little tribe.
Our group.
Fenway Sports Group.
The group thing. Oh, I can't stand that.
It's either that or an orgy.
It's not a group. It's a team. You have a team.
Or organization.
No, it's team. Team. Our team. Our team. It's a team. We're playing team sports. It's not a group. It's not the marketing group on the third floor. It's not the group that you've assembled to go out and raise money. It's not your fundraising group. Nope, nope, nope. It's a hockey team. Stan Sweeney, he keeps referring to the players as his group.
We got a good group here at the Felger Maz. Personally, I think, you know, me, Murray, Mike, Jimmy, Billy. It's a good group.
Well, this is also Bruins related. As I mentioned, it is a throwback. We're talking about Dougie Hamilton, who the Bruins are going to see again as he's one of the defensemen of the Carolina Hurricanes.
No, what?
Well, this is fun. So let's go back to June of 2015 on the NHL trade deadline day, the day that he was moved, because something else also happened during all the madness of the trade deadline that day.
Oh, this is great. Yes.
This from Darren Drager of TSN, which again is like the ESPN of Canada. He has it confirmed. Dougie Hamilton has been traded to Calgary. Doesn't actually have what the return is, just hashtag Flames, hashtag Bruins. But Darren Drager is reporting that Dougie Hamilton has indeed been traded to the Calgary Flames. Splashes and fireworks.
I like the move. I would not pay Doug Hamilton that money. Thank you. I would not pay him that money. Thank you. And if Calgary's going to pay him $7-8 million a year, what, Murray, what?
According to Drager, Johnny Gaudreau is a Bruin.
Okay, so nice. Look, Johnny Hockey, nice little player. I would not do cartwheels, so is it 15 and Johnny Gaudreau?
That way we're still trying to figure out. Drager's a little slow here.
Okay, no, so this is a kid.
They're going fast.
We'll talk about Gaudreau going forward. It's 15 and Johnny Gaudreau. Is that enough for you, Jimmy Stewart?
Yes, absolutely.
It is?
Yes.
I gotta go back and do my homework on Johnny Gaudreau. Yes. Boy, he's small. You're gonna love him. What's his size? Look, I was going to say that.
I am looking at Darren Drager's Twitter account, and I don't see any of these tweets. And I see people tweeting about a fake Darren Drager.
No.
Oh, don't tell me we got duped by Twitter again. Come on now.
I'm just telling you, the one with the blue check doesn't have anything about Calgary, doesn't have anything about Gaudreau, and doesn't have anything about Dougie Hamilton.
Gaudreau.
That's... Don't look at me.
So
I'm not saying it's not happening. I'm just saying it's not coming from Darren Drake.
Okay. Well, we were on top of that, weren't
we? Oh, yeah.
The best part of the whole thing is the gasp. It's...
Johnny Gaudreau's a Boston Bruin.
Nope, he most certainly was not.
And I definitely undersold Johnny Gaudreau that day. Good player. 15 and Gaudreau would have been a steal for Dougie
Hamilton. Yeah, no question.
Anyway, Mass, baseball reporters, what do you got?
So believe it or not, there was some interesting stuff that happened in that game last night with the Red Sox. I want to look at the bullpen. I want to look at something that happened early in the game. Also, Alex Cora, Red Sox manager, did his weekly interview with the radio rights holder, who shall go unnamed, and revealed an interesting little bit of information about a certain player who deserves to be in the lineup, but he's going to find creative ways to keep him in there. I'll explain further when we get into the program.
Baseball reporters on the radio in 90 seconds. Off-air show on Facebook Live. Now I'm running into the room right this second. Talk to everyone tomorrow at 2 for Celtics reaction and Bruins preview.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.